Welcome to the Bridge Podcast, a digital worship service. We know that walking with the Lord isn't easy, and we hope this show is a way to come alongside you and offer a little extra weekly encouragement. Most of the content for the show was originally created for our BridgeBox subscription service. For more information, go to missionusa.com/BridgeBox.
Matters to you.
look at the Christian life this way. The Holy Spirit is drawing all people closer to himself, and yet not all of us are moving forward in intimacy with God. So clearly, we're getting stuck on something. If that's a biblical view of things, and it is, see John 12:32 and the surrounding chapter, then ministry is really about removing those obstacles that keep us from being closer to God. From experience, I can tell you that every pitfall and obstacle holding up our spiritual growth will ultimately turn out to be rooted in a lie. It will be a theological lie, and it will center on the nature of our relationship with God and our fellow man. The question is, how the heck do we track that lie down? Our emotions will provide us with a trail to follow, and a few basic principles from psychology, a scary word to some Christians, will give us a compass along the way. We need to be smart about emotions to learn how to properly walk this walk. Take, for example, a psychological concept called cognitive dissonance. It's a fancy word for a very simple concept. Cognitive dissonance says that when you get better treatment than what you think you deserve, it makes you uncomfortable. In fact, you will become so uncomfortable that you will eventually sabotage the good situation you're in so that you can go back to the bad treatment you feel you deserve. Crazy, right? But I bet you've seen that play out before. The troubled gal who starts dating a nice guy that treats her well, and then she breaks up with him 3 weeks later so she can be with a dude who treats her like dirt. That's cognitive dissonance at work. Now here's how that plays out in our spiritual lives. Take someone with a low sense of self-esteem and tell them they are loved by the Creator of all things. Tell this person, who doesn't think they are lovable or worthwhile, that this invisible God loves and desires them to a depth and level that is beyond human comprehension, and that this all-powerful, all-knowing being will never change his mind. Tell your beleaguered friend, who sees nothing but sinfulness when they look at themselves, that their sins have been forgiven, and that, if they accept God's forgiveness, those sins are no longer part of the equation. Instead, they're gone, taken away. I bet you can already start to see the problem. Cognitive dissonance says that this person with low self-esteem will immediately begin to find a way for this good news to not be true. As good as the news is, it conflicts with everything currently running through their brain, and so it is incredibly uncomfortable. No matter how much good theology you give them, they'll twist it around to something ugly. They'll set about trying to earn what they already have. They'll play games where they imagine God as being shocked by a sin he never saw coming and is therefore unwilling to have a relationship. Does this all sound familiar? I'll bet that if you've never been this person, you know several people, maybe even dozens, who think exactly this way. In the end, knowing about cognitive dissonance helps us understand some of the self-destructive behavior we see in the world. But we need to look deeper to find the lie that sets this thinking in motion. In this case, since we know it has to do with cognitive dissonance, we know it centers on the idea of what we deserve. So, armed with that information, we can easily see the problem. The enemy has told this person that they do not deserve God's love. And this person likely looked for evidence to support or deny that allegation. Most of the devil's lies have a grain of truth to them, which is why they stick so well. And here's that grain in our example. It's true. We don't deserve God's love. But now that we've gotten down to the lie, it is, at long last, the right time to bring in the theology, to tell the full truth about God. Because while it is completely true and biblical that we do not deserve God's love, it is also true that we are given that love anyway. Undeserved favor, or as the Bible calls it, grace, is the cornerstone of our faith. We live in the light of love we do not deserve and did not earn. When you win the lottery, you don't ask yourself if you deserve the money. They're handing out free money. You'll take it now and get over the contradictions later. Likewise, all this cognitive dissonance and all these funky emotions come from a simple lie. Shockingly, it's a lie that dissolves the moment it's brought out into the light. It only has any strength when it's hidden, unexamined, in the darkness of our minds. So we see that, in this example, We're dealing with an emotional struggle that is rooted in a spiritual struggle. And therefore, the more you understand your emotions, the easier it is to pin down where your spiritual problems are. Recent surveys have suggested that having a high intelligence about emotions, what folks call EQ, is a greater predictor of potential career success than IQ. And that might sound strange at first glance. I mean, smart people are the ones who succeed and do well, right? Well, not exactly. If we think about it, most of us know someone who is very smart, but their personality is so off-putting that they make themselves impossible to interact with. Likewise, we know plenty of people of fairly average intelligence who, all the same, have insights we feel like we can trust. That's because they know how to be cool about things. It feels like they get us and what we're going through. But even though the relationships between emotional intelligence and healthy relationships become obvious as soon as we start thinking about it, Christians tend to avoid thinking about emotions at all. It's often as though we're afraid to think about emotions, to speak them out loud. You get the sense that, for a lot of Christians, they'd like everyone to just pretend they don't have any feelings, as though that would keep everything neat and tidy. That pretending is what people outside of the church refer to as repression. And in my experience, this repression of emotions as a way of appearing more Christian seems to be everywhere. So let's look at repression. It's a lot like living in the attic of a house while there's a fire in the basement. It doesn't appear to have any bearing on the current situation, but believe me, it will eventually become a problem. When you repress emotions, make no mistake, they still exist on a subconscious level. The spiritual problem with repression is that these are strong feelings that aren't being dealt with. Instead, they're being swept under the rug. And once they're under the rug, in the dark, the enemy can tell us lies that pertain to those emotions. Since we won't face the emotion, we can't break down the lies that are being told to us about those emotions. If we fail to do that work of self-examination, to live in the painful but healing light of the truth, we end up living with all these hidden, mysterious forces working beneath our conscious mind, growing more dangerous and twisted and powerful as time goes on. Repression leads to explosions, and the person you blow up at is most likely to be a friend or spouse, thus damaging your most important relationships. Repression isn't about self-control. It's about avoidance, plain and simple. Repression isn't about handling your emotions. It's about choosing a path that ironically leads to having a more chaotic and destructive emotional life. So what do we do? Repression, pretending to not have feelings, doesn't work. And giving full vent to every jacked up emotional impulse that occurs to us throughout the day is also clearly not the answer. So again, what do we do? Fortunately, God lays out for us exactly what he wants us to do with our emotions, our feelings, our worries and anxieties and cares. Psalm 55:22 says, "Cast your burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken." Rather than hiding and repressing these emotions, we're meant to give them to God. The right place for these overwhelming emotions is not under the rug. It's on the altar of God. We all have that internal barometer where, when the emotions get to be too much, something will kick in to deal with that. It's just a matter of training ourselves to give those emotions to God, rather than avoid them through alcohol, drugs, lust, money, or any of a thousand distractions available to us. In the words of the great social philosopher S.R. Vaughan, we're never safe from the truth, but in the truth we can survive. No matter how painful, it's not the truth that's killing us. It's the lies. The lies we believe become far worse than the painful truths we try to avoid. This week, make the decision to start studying and understanding your emotional life. Make the decision to face your feelings head on, instead of ignoring or repressing them. And lastly, make the decision to then hand those feelings off to God as his burden to carry, instead of yours. The more you do this, the healthier your whole life, mind, body, and spirit will become.